From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Jorge Novillo.
And I'm Jose Baudner.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. We're going to do a little more Windows internals stuff this week. Last episode, we talked about MXA, Media Experience Analyzer. And we've got some more scenarios to show you with that, mostly around some cool stuff we do in newer versions of Windows to save power on mobile devices, especially in media playback scenarios, right?
That's right, yeah. So full screen video playback is a common workload that reviewers and OEMs use to measure power and to kind of benchmark their devices, see where they're at relative to other devices in their category.
Right.
And so there's multiple features in Windows that enable the user to save power when they're, especially when they're in full screen mode.
Right.
So we're going to talk about low refresh rate playback. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about multi-plane overlays.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about independent flip. And then in a future session, we'll cover audio offload.
Okay, so these are various features that we've added over the years at different times, Windows 8, 8.1, Windows 10.
Yep.
Cool ways that we save a lot of battery life, right? I mean, that's what the game is all about, is extending your battery life. So when you're on that long flight, right?
Exactly.
Watching a movie or whatever.
Yep.
Cool. 10 hours mark.
Right. And how do we validate that we have that stuff, right? So if I, let's say I have my laptop here, I want to find out what are the, which of these features I'm benefiting from.
Right, yeah. So when you're playing back content in a player or in the browser, you don't really know what's going on. So in order to figure that out, you do have to take a trace and look in tools like MXA to see what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. And we talked in last episode about how to take that trace in MXA so people can refer back to that to get the trace.
Yep. Yeah. So we're not going to use WPR, the Windows Performance Recorder, today. We're just going to jump into some traces that we collected before we recorded this.
Okay.
But essentially, you know, you want to start logging and you actually want to unplug the device from power before you start the scenario.
Oh, right. Because a lot of these really kick in when you're on battery power, right?
Exactly, yeah. So if you start watching an hour and a half movie and then you unplug, it's not going to automatically switch. Some of the power saving features may kick in, but not all of them.
Okay, yeah. Right. Makes sense. That's when you want to save power the most, is when you're on battery.
Yep. So let's start with the low refresh rate feature.
Yeah, I believe this is something we added in Windows 8.1, from what I recall.
Yep. So I've already launched MXA. To do that, the first thing I do is I set the symbol path, and I've done that already. And then to load the trace, I did XA space minus I, and then a path to the ETL file.
Okay.
So that's what we have loaded here.
And once again, people can go back to our previous episode on where to get it and where to install it.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Bing is your friend.
Yes.
Type in the experience analyzer. All right, so I'm going to create a new couple empty panels here by pressing Control N. And we're going to start by looking at DMA operations. So I'm going to drag and drop here the GPU DMA operations over to a panel.
Mm.
And let's go ahead and look to see when the DWM was running. So we see here the desktop window manager was running in the beginning here. And then if I bring back, let's see, some other well, these are the same color, they're roughly the same color, yeah. But essentially the media player started rendering, started decoding right here. This is when the first frame was decoded up here. Let me zoom in. So you can see on the decode node of this GPU, we started decoding frames right around here. This is when DWM went away. So the colors are very similar, different shades of blue here.
You can change there, you know that, right?
How do we change, Jose?
So expand the node.
Okay. Let's change DWM.
Down to the
event.
Right click, change color.
There we go.
And then you can
choose red.
Luckily, we've got the developer here to point these things out.
All right. So essentially, what we're seeing here is the DWM is no longer rendering. This is when we're in full screen mode, the controls have faded away. And now we see decode operations to continue. And then this is the actual player right here.
Zune Video, so that's the movies and TV app.
Exactly.
Which is still, for legacy purposes, the file name is still Zune Video.
Yeah, so this was actually, I believe, captured on an 8.1 device.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the next trace we're going to look at was from Windows 10.
Maybe it was still called Zune Video back then.
It's too called.
Oh, maybe it still is.
Okay, so the particular data set that we want to look at here is called DX VSync ISR DPC Cadence. This one right here. So we're going to drag and drop this guy over here and then zoom in on the bottom here.
Mm-hmm. See a change there.
Yep. So what we're looking at here is the VSync cadence is at approximately 16.6 milliseconds around this region of the trace right here.
So you're running around 60 hertz.
Right. Yeah. And the way you figure that out is if you divide, let's see, 1 second by 60 hertz, 60 frames, let's multiply it by 1,000 to get milliseconds. And you get 16.6 milliseconds.
And so for people who don't know, VSync is the vertical sync, or the, I guess, I think that's what
it's
stands
vertical
for.
Sync,
vertical
yeah.
sync. So
it came
that's
from the old CRTs.
From the CRTs.
So we flash doing
essentially, yeah. This is how often we are painting something new on, or how often the monitor is displaying a new frame on the screen, right?
Exactly.
Is it the VSync?
Like in the consumer market, mm-hmm. we have TVs, right, that refresh at
like 120 hertz TV, we would say, has a VSync of 1/120th of a second, right?
Yep, right. Exactly. So if we, in this case, we were playing back 24 frames per second content, and so if we divide 1 second, let's see, by 48, because the panel doesn't support actually dropping down to 24, if it did, Media Engine would request, it would save more power and request a 24 hertz.
Oh, okay, so we are at the limit of what the hardware supports. That's a really good point. So
yes.
If you just use this on any old machine, it may or may not work because you may not have a 48 hertz capable panel.
That's a good point, yes. Yeah. And so not only does the panel have to be capable, the OEM and the IHV have to define in the EDID that the panel supports these refresh rates.
Okay.
So let's see, we do 1/48, multiply it by 1,000 to get milliseconds again, and we have 20.8 milliseconds. So that's essentially what we see right here. Let me zoom in. So right here, for the first, looks like 17 seconds of playback, we are rendering at 60 hertz, right? 16.6 millisecond cadence between each VSync. Mm-hmm. Then it jumps up to the 20.8 milliseconds right here, and I'm gonna hit escape to zoom out all the way and then zoom back in here. And it looks like it remains at 48 hertz throughout the 80 second trace, the remainder of the 80 second trace.
Great.
In the future, we may have another defrag tool session on glitch analysis. And so there's been several patterns that we've seen where if the VSync fluctuates and it's beyond that 16 millisecond, way beyond that 16 millisecond cadence, that could also introduce glitches. But that's for a future session.
So another good thing about this 48 hertz that we mentioned earlier is a lot of times if your VSync is at 60 hertz but you're playing back 24 frames per second like a movie, like that 24 doesn't evenly divide into 60, so we have to do this funky reverse 3-2 pull down thing, and that you get a slight sort of jumpiness on slow movements, right?
Yep.
And that's the reason why in the consumer market, like people like 120 hertz TVs came out to sort of address that. And this also, going to 48 hertz also addresses that. So you get that same benefit of a smoother video playback, right?
Yep.
So it's okay. So not only you save power, but you get a better looking video, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Another thing that's interesting there, like if you can start movies in TV, since like you plan to go to 48 hertz, if you don't hit the button to go full screen, the rest of the windows is still running at 60, you're not going to transition to 60.
Right.
You only transition to 60 due to 48 if you're on full screen mode and the controls are hit.
Right. Oh, right. Because otherwise, like your mouse would run at 48 hertz.
Exactly.
Everything else would be 48. It would be a sort of a jumpy.
So to get the best power optimization video, like you have to, even if the screen's maximized,
right,
you have to hit the full screen button on the tool. Like Netflix has it. Every video app has the full screen.
So that's a good tip. If you have a 48 hertz capable device and you want the most power savings while watching a video, you should be full screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other applications that are inbox, like Windows Media Player. I know there's probably a few Windows Media Player fans still out there. Mm-hmm. That is not based on the latest Media Engine pipeline, and so you won't pick up some of these power-saving features.
Uh-huh.
You have to use something like Movies and TV app or another...
Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Would it be fair to say pretty much any of the modern apps like that run on Windows 10 would benefit from this, right?
Yeah.
If they're in full screen.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, so one more thing we want to show in this trace here, the low refresh rate trace, is, Jose mentioned earlier that we do a lot of things to save power, and this is just one example, kind of shows you. So what we're looking at here, this data set that I just dragged and dropped from the tree view over to an empty panel, is called Processor Frequency Recorded Utility. And what we're looking at here on the y-axis is the frequency, right?
No, this is the percentage of the supported frequency that you're running on.
Okay.
So like you're running at 100% here.
Okay.
Then we drop for like around 10%. That's the V bar.
Okay. So not only are we saving power because the panel, the display itself can run at a lower refresh rate, but this also allows us to run the CPU at a lower
frequency. Also for doing that, like we do, we have a feature called like batching. That like we can show through the intervals.
Okay.
On the Media Engine.
Media Engine, there we go. Yeah. So I'm going to drag and drop the Media Engine.
So you should zoom in.
I think you wanted DWM, right?
No.
No, okay.
You have the batch here probably.
Yeah, this is the batching.
Yeah. So like you are batching and like you only, like we batch the frames on up to 7 frames.
Oh, okay.
And we do all that work, like we turn on all the CPUs, we do all the work that you have to do. Then we know like, oh, we have enough buffer for like 200 milliseconds or something around that.
Okay.
Then you can sleep the process and like stop the CPU. So you get a longer time on with the core parked and the frequency down.
Oh, okay. Because and that's why we see all these DMA operations are sort of chunked together.
They're chunked together.
And that allows us to drop the CPU power between
exactly.
Those.
Because like when you're shutting down cores or shutting down the frequency, there's a transient to do that.
Yeah.
And at that point, usually you consume more power than running it.
Right.
So as larger your interval, more power you're saving.
Great.
Yeah, let's look at the DWM core intervals. So essentially what the core interval or intervals have not been introduced yet, so let's talk about that real quick. Intervals is essentially taking the start and stop pairs that are fired by the events.
Oh, right? Okay. So we get like a batch start event and a batch stop event or something.
Right, and it just creates a block. It creates a rectangle for you. Mm. And so
it's a nice view of that.
So here's a great visualization here where you can see just before we jumped into full screen mode and the transport controls faded away, we can see here, this is all the work that DWM was doing, right? We're not going to look at every single event that it was doing, but you know, at a high level here, you know, you can see it was scheduling process frame. Anyways, the point is that it was doing all this work here in CPU, and then as soon as it entered in full screen mode and we started
doing iFlip.
iFlip and MPO, or in this case there's no MPO in this machine, but you can see here this is now basically freed up CPU.
Okay, so we haven't talked about MPO or iFlip yet, but those are some other technologies we've introduced over last few Windows versions to save power, right?
And yes.
Optimizations.
Yeah, so that's a good transition over to the next trace that we have here. All right, so let's go ahead and close these panels and start fresh here. Control N. And we're going to start over here by looking at the DMA operations, just like we did in the last demo.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that this GPU have one more engine.
Yep, this GPU has a video processing engine one, video decode, and then the 3D engine here.
A little more sophisticated GPU than the previous system.
That's right. So if you just want to quickly load a trace and see, okay, does my device, you know, and MPO is actually supported on select types of hardware, right? You have to contact your IHV and find out, does this chipset support MPO? But a lot of the popular ones these days do support MPO. So do you want to talk a little bit about what MPO does to save power?
Yes, you can do. Like the MPO is the overlay that you can save on several operations.
It's multi-plane overlay, right?
It's multi-plane overlay. So multi-plane overlay can save on case like all the panels run on RGB. And sometimes your content is generating like YY or any other color space.
Oh, like a component video sort of encoding instead of RGB.
RGB, and some codecs also do that.
Okay.
So there's MPO, there's a hardware that goes like as close as it can to the panel, that you do that conversion on hardware. So like you're saving CPU and you're saving GPU by using the MPO for doing that.
Okay.
Another thing, like it does part of the composition, simple composition operations. So like if you're doing closed captions on top, like you don't have to rely on the whole DWM, enable all those work that we are saving, turning on the iFlip.
I see.
The MPO will do that on the hardware for you. Like you just submit the surface, it's going to do the overlay composition for you.
So it allows us to offload a lot of that work of overlaying various things on top of each other.
Yeah.
That's multi-plane overlay, right? It's in the name. So that it offloads a lot of that work to the hardware rather than having to do it all in software in the GPU.
And that's also as the other features depending on the software on the hardware. The hardware, like some hardware support like more overlays than other or more features, color conversion, scaling than others. So depending on the hardware, you have more power savings or less, or the feature you show there on the trace or not.
Okay,
that's a great overview. If you want to learn more about multiplane overlay, check out an MSDN.
More information. We'll put a link to that. There's plenty.
Yeah, if you want to just jump straight into the trace and look at to see if whether or not MPO is engaged, our friends in the graphics and media team added an event for this. So under the Microsoft Windows DXG kernel data set, if you expand this, let's first drag and drop this over here. And we are going to filter out. So the way you filter an MXA is this is how it shows up by default. You see all the events. So if you click it once, that's going to highlight all the events. If you click it again, it's going to remove all the events. So we want to filter out all the events except for multiplane, or it's called MMIO flip multiplane overlay. So we're going to click on this. And we can see here that if I zoom out all the way, that MPO was engaged throughout the entire steady state playback.
So you wouldn't see these events at all if there was no MPO.
Exactly. You wouldn't actually see this event show up in the tree. And so we have seen a few cases, especially during the development phase, where
the driver's not enabling it.
Exactly.
Or the hardware doesn't support.
Yep. All right. So if I go run this on my six-year-old laptop,
you won't see it.
I'll see a blank screen there, right?
Nothing. Exactly.
No events.
Exactly. And then one other interesting visualization is to look at the amount of time that is spent in the DWM, so in terms of CPU. So let's look at the scheduler, okay? I'm going to drag and drop the scheduler down here. Of course, we've got way too much information to make sense out of anything right now, so I'm going to remove everything by clicking here twice, and I'm going to go down to Windows System Processes and click on DWM. All right. So now, what we see here on the y-axis, let me make this a little bit larger. We're going to close that. Okay, so what we see here in the y-axis is thread priority. And so we see DWM was starting around priority 16, jumped up to priority 20. And we showed this in the last video, where if you want to see how long each thread is taking, is running for, you can right-click here in the panel and then choose the thread work duration view. And so this is interesting, right? You can see that the average time it took DWM to do its work was about 1.2 milliseconds. These values are in nanoseconds, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so It drops from 1.2 milliseconds to an average of about 350 or 400 microseconds.
That's cool.
And so you can see you're saving CPU when you're in full screen mode due to many of the features we're describing right now.
So in this case, DWM is still running very frequently, but when it does run, it's for a much shorter amount of time.
It's not doing the whole composition of whole Windows. Mm. It's just doing the flip of the frame to the screen.
Great. That's very cool. So, and that's because it was able to offload a lot of that work to the hardware, right, with MPO?
Correct. Yep. And then you're disabling. Since you're running on MPO, we are telling the WM doesn't handle anything, and the surface, that's full screen, your full screen, it's coming out directly from the codec. You can get the frame, give the pointer to them, and they just have to flip. And the frame is already inside the GPU, so you do not even have to transfer that.
Ah, okay, so there's quite a bit of optimization that happens there.
Yeah, this pattern here where you see a bunch of DWM work here, and then it kind of goes away, and then it comes back. If you measure here, let's see, here to here, actually it would be from here to here, about 5 seconds. This is the amount of time it takes for the transport controls to fade away. So for example, I'm playing back this content and I click on the full screen button.
Oh, and they fade in and out.
Actually, I think it was 2 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So DWM's got to do more work.
There it is. Yeah, so it's about anywhere between 2 and 4 seconds. Yeah, so when it does fade away, I just moved the mouse so it brought them back. But when it does fade away, then you no longer see DWM render operations on the GPU node.
So we're able to do that.
Oops,
I think that was the last trace. That's cool.
Yep.
And again, to get that measurement, you held down the shift key, right? While you drag across.
Yep. Shift and click.
Shift and then left click and then drag. And then it gives you a couple different things. Nanoseconds, microseconds, milliseconds, and seconds.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So that's MPO.
Yes. And then there's another feature called independent flip. And to see that, again, our friends in the graphics and media team added an event. So let's go back to DXG kernel. Oops. Scroll down here under Microsoft Windows DXG kernel. Let's remove the multiplane overlay event. We'll drag this data set back to this panel. And we're going to go look for the independent flip event right there.
Uh-huh. Seems like there's a lot of them, so it must be working.
Yep, and it's the reason why we have four rows here is it just means that the thread that fired this event, this
was
is the core.
Was the core. Yeah. Mm. Like you can right-click and switch tick.
Yeah.
So and now, then you have just a line.
Yeah, now you just have a line for every time that event was fired. Mm. Yeah. If you don't care which core it was fired on.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And so independent flip is just a sort of a similar optimization. You were mentioning, Jose, that it has something to do with allowing us to sort of pre-render frames ahead of time.
Yeah, it's related to the batching. Yeah, okay. So like since now we have like up to 7 frames, we can schedule them in the future. And the iFlip, you kick in, like not doing any composition, and it's just going to pick up from that queue and put on the screen.
Oh, so this is similar to what we were seeing before with the batching and
It's related to the batching.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have iFlip, the app you still have to schedule every frame. This way, you're passing the batch to the WM, and the WM have the batch, so the app doesn't have to wake up at all.
Oh, so the app can actually just pre-render.
Slip.
Yeah. Okay. I see.
So I'm going to freeze the contents of this payload that we're hovering over an event right now. This is the iFlip event. And so I'm going to freeze the contents of this payload by hitting shift and holding shift. And then I'm going to try to work some magic here and go up. Nope, that's not going to work. Okay, so anyways, if you look in here at the properties dialog box, it says independent flip. It talks a little bit about how long it took for this event to run. And it's got a bunch of information about
the plane index.
Yeah.
Swap chain that you're running, how many presents you did.
So this is the data from that particular event.
Yes, yes. And you can see here the iFlip events do correlate to when batching starts. So the iFlip events, this right here is the intervals for the media engine.
Oh, the batching.
Provider, yep.
Okay, and then you see all those DMAs happen right at that time. And then we can kind of just sleep for a while. Until the next batch comes around.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah.
right.
So yeah, in the future, hopefully we have an opportunity to share the audio offload feature. That also saves about 5% of power when you're doing full screen video playback. And then when you're in low power audio, basically screen off audio, it's upwards of 40% savings.
Oh, so wow. That's
looking
a huge,
forward to that.
That's a huge video. Savings. Okay, well, we'll save that for a future episode. We'll focus more on video this time. We'll cover some of the audio at a later time. Well, that's our show. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you again with some more cool stuff. Thanks for watching.